was summer, and we had gone as a family to Possum Kingdom Lake. And we had brought the motorboat, because we were going to do some motoring around the lake, as well as the canoe to go fishing. And we had taken it to one of the boat launches to launch the boat, and we had backed it just to where it was getting ready, where we would then move it into the water. And Dad was in the back getting it ready, and my brother had run off somewhere, causing my mother to go running after my brother, which is a common occasion in our family. And so here is Greg sitting in the back seat of the car. Greg, who always wanted to learn how to drive, even at age 2. Here's Greg climbing over the back of the front seat. You know what's happening, going to happen here. Into the front seat, sitting down in the driver's seat, and pulling the lever from park to neutral. And Mother saw it, and saw as the car and the boat started to roll backwards, and yelled out with a peeling, "No!" Dad levitated actually, out of the boat, onto the ground, up to the car, and managed to shove his foot in on the emergency brake and bring the car and boat to a stop while the water had not yet gotten into the car. Whew. And Greg remembers it primarily because he got worn out as a result, but actually, I don't remember that. What I remember is Mom going, "No!" and Dad leaping to the rescue. Sometimes we don't listen. I had been told time and time again, stay out of the front seat. I've been told time and time again, don't touch. That's just like inviting, though, a 2-year-old to touch it. Don't touch. Don't touch. No. And then, no! Oh, we don't listen. We don't listen, and yet we are called to listen. We are called to be attuned. We are called to listen for the voice and the call of God on our lives. We're called to be open to the calling of God on our lives. But so frequently we are turned off. We tune out. We shut our senses, and we ignore the call of God. We ignore the voice of God. Can't be the voice of God. That's a woman's voice. Can't be the voice of God. I'm not in church. Can't be the voice of God. It's not some deep-sounding voice like you heard in the movie The Ten Commandments. Moses, Moses, the land you are on is holy ground. Or it's not the voice of God saying, "Margaret, Margaret, buy Scott toilet paper and not Charmin." We have weird expectations for what God's voice is going to sound like, don't we? Or what God's voice is going to say. We would like God's voice to say, "Invest in thus and such and you'll make a lot of money." Yes, right. Huh? Yeah. Now, doesn't come that way. God's call doesn't come that way, usually. God's call usually comes in ways that we don't anticipate. So today I've got 3 points. Now, they tell us in seminary that you should design your sermons to have 3 points and a poem, not 19 points and a long story. I've given 19-point sermons before, haven't I? Yeah. But today it's 3, and they're easy. Firstly, God's call often doesn't come where we expect. It doesn't come where we expect. It doesn't really come even how we expect it. It just comes. Now, in today's story, we have Samuel sleeping in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, next to the Ark of the Covenant. And if you're like me, you remember the Ark of the Covenant from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. And you know what happened when they opened the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. The Nazis got melted. That was great. That was a fantastic scene when they melted away. I love that scene. Here's this kid, assistant to the high priest, Eli, sleeping in the Holy of Holies next to the Ark of the Covenant, the Nazi melting box. That's where you expect to hear God's voice, isn't it? But you'd think it'd be, get out. But no. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel, you know, used to hearing his name called by Eli, got up and ran to Eli, thinking it was Eli. I didn't call you, go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel, I'm here. I didn't call you, said Eli, go back to bed. But Eli kind of knew. The kid sleeping in the Holy of Holies must be Yahweh talking. Listen. So often in our living, it's not that easy to discern. So often in our living, it is not easy to discern that we're hearing the voice of God. We're not in church. We can't hear the voice of God out on the beach. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yeah. If we're not in church, you're standing on the deck of a ship. You can't hear the voice of God there. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. You're in the mountains. You can't hear the voice of God there. Oh, yeah. Yes, you can. You know, you can hear God's voice everywhere. Not just in church. It helps to be in a Holy of Holies, but God's creation, as we learned last week, was very good. God's creation is the Holy of Holies. The society, the culture, the church may teach us that you have to be someplace special, but I would say every place is special. Nevertheless, God often doesn't come to us and call us where we expect, but rather where we need to be listening. Secondly, God's call often doesn't come from whom we expect. Where and from whom do you expect God's call to come? You ask most clergy that question, and the first answer is, well, let's see, the bishop, the district superintendent, no. Scripture, yeah, that's a good place. Samuel probably was expecting Eli to call him. Eli certainly wasn't expecting God to be using Samuel to communicate the word. God majors throughout Scripture in using unexpected instruments, unexpected vessels, unexpected means for communicating God's will. Think about it. Abraham and Sarah were old, yet God said that God would build a great nation out of them, even though they're both old. Jacob was a cheat, and yet God used Jacob. Moses was not eloquent in speech. He stuttered. And he was raised in the height of establishment culture in Egypt. And yet God called and used him to deliver slaves from captivity. David, a shepherd boy, not the son of a king, not the eldest son, and not the biggest or strongest, yet God called him to slay Goliath and to be king over Israel. Mary, an unmarried young maiden. Not the daughter of a king, not the daughter of a military ruler, not the daughter of the high priest. A rather inconsequential young girl. God chose her to bring Christ into the world. Peter, a stinky fisherman. Why did God choose Peter? Peter would deny him. I tell you, I don't know him. Paul, a Pharisee, a lawyer, someone who believed that understanding and living the law was critically important, became the apostle to the Gentiles, proclaiming salvation by grace through faith and not by works. God chooses some unexpected vessels, some unexpected people, some unexpected instruments to proclaim the message. God uses unexpected voices, just as God used the young Samuel here to speak a word to Eli. Thirdly, God's call often doesn't contain what we expect. We want good news, not bad news, not difficult news, not problematic news. We want good news. We want a good prophecy. We want a good message, one that makes us feel good, one that equates with what we want to do. One that communicates the kind of message that we think ought to be communicated. It's not what Eli got. Give Eli credit. He said to Samuel, "You will tell me what Yahweh said to you. And if you leave anything out, let what Yahweh said to you be on your head." And then Samuel told him the bad news. And Eli said, "Well, that's Yahweh. Yahweh's God. God will do what God will do." Got to give Eli credit there. He knew it didn't do any good to argue with God. So often we argue with God. We don't listen. We refuse to accept where the message is coming from. We refuse to accept from whom the message is coming. We refuse to accept what the message says. I've been counseling a candidate for ordained ministry. He was sent to me by the board as to be his mentor. And we met this past week, and it's been disastrous. He went through college. He went through first 2 years of seminary. He's in his intern program, halfway through the intern program, and it's been an absolute unmitigated disaster. It's not what he thought it would be. The gifts and graces he needs for the ministry don't seem to be active in his life. They looked like they were academically, but once you put it into the field, things change. It's been a disaster for him. And frustrated, he sat there and he said, "I don't think I'm called to the pastoral ministry." He finally listened to what God was saying. And he said, I guess I don't have a calling. And I said, "Well, now just one moment. You may not have a calling to the local church pastorate, but God has a calling on your life. God has a calling for you in the ministry of God. You may not be called to be a pastor, but God is calling you. So don't think you've wasted this, because you haven't. In fact, it's a good thing you've learned this early." "Early," he said. "I've been through college. I've been through seminary. I only have 1 year left to go, and it's all been waiting." And I says, "No, it hasn't. Think about it. I know friends. I have friends in the ministry who have been in it for 10 and 15 and 20 years and are only just now discovering that they weren't really called to be the pastor of a church. They have a calling. One is called to write. Another, I'm still not sure what his calling is. Maybe he's called to be a real estate agent. I don't know. He has no idea what his calling is. But he's been in the ministry for 20 years. You," I said, "found out early And now you have a chance to adjust and mold and transform your life and your course in ministry and find where you can work in ministry. What an opportunity. He finally listened. Listened where? Listened to what was being said to him by mentors and friends and congregations and district superintendents and bishops. You don't want to listen to them, but you need to. Sometimes, especially. You don't want to listen to them at this time of the year when they start talking about appointments, but you need to listen. But most especially, you need to be honest and listen to what they say. We need to be listening for God's voice wherever it may be. And I want to encourage us today to be open to the call of God on our lives, to be open to what God is saying to us, to be open to the call of God wherever it may be coming, wherever it may be, whoever may be proclaiming it to us, and whatever God might be saying to us. We need to be open to God's calling, ready and willing to hear and respond with faith. So I invite you today to listen to God's call on your life. When you come to the table of the Lord, and when you kneel in prayer and receive again the real presence of Christ into your life, I invite you to ask Christ, "What are you saying to me? How can I live it? What am I called to do?" I invite you, my friends, to come to the table of the Lord and make yourself open to the voice of God that called out, "Samuel, Samuel," and today calls out, "Wanda, Wanda, Ron, Ron, Alexander, Alexander." Listen for the voice of God. And then do what God says. What if I'm wrong? Well, God sometimes has a habit of going, "Hey, wait a minute, I didn't say that, do this." What if I don't hear that? You will. What if it takes 10 years? Then it takes 10 years. God wanted you to do the other thing for a reason. Listen, be open, and then act in faith.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries.
Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved.
For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.